King James Version of the Bible. Beginning at verse 12, scripture reads like this. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. Then verse 15 says, You people judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is what? True. For I'm not alone in it, but I and he who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I'm he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And then verse 19 says, And so they were saying to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered and said, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Yeah. From these scriptures, going to speak from this subject for a little while today. Jesus, light of the world. Amen. Thank you for standing, those who are able to stand. Jesus, light of the world. So from these scriptures, there are three things we want to pull and talk about in a little more detail. First, Jesus says, follow me. We see it. He said, follow me. And then he talks to the group. He said, follow the true witness. The true witness. And thirdly, he says, follow the Father. Follow me. Follow the true witness. Follow the Father. I think about Easter all the time because this is not new. Always in every church, the Sunday that follows Easter, you have lower attendance. Because Easter tends to bring people out who don't always come out to church. But they find something important about showing up on certain days, and Easter's one of those days. So we just have to be prayerful. Don't talk about anybody. Don't point anybody out. Let's just pray one for another, amen? Because God is a mighty good God. But Jesus here is talking to a group of people, some of who are believers, but most are not believers in Jesus Christ. And by believers, I mean they don't accept Jesus as the Messiah, as Lord and Savior. There are a lot of people who saw Jesus as a good man, and maybe did some good things, but personally accepting Jesus as Messiah, they hadn't come to that point. And I have to tell you, you recognize that Jesus says, even in our churches, everybody who attends church is not a born-again, baptized believer. Jesus say, hey, you stay out of it. Let the wheat and tare grow together. And Jesus said, who's going to do the separating? He'll do the separating. And that's good for us to remember because sometimes people feel like, especially people who've been around church a while, hey, I don't need to accept John. I don't need to accept Mary. They don't come all the time. They're not tithers yet. We're the ones who support the church. We have to stay away from that kind of mentality. God wants his church open to everybody. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
And so Jesus then is talking to this group and commonly is considered a group of Pharisees. But he said, I am the light of the world. Now think about that for a few minutes. I'm the light of the world. Now we live in a time when you got lights everywhere. Even the highways sometimes, they work all night with big lights. But during the time Jesus was ministering physically on earth, lights were not plentiful. And that meant when the darkness came, you had to shut down. You couldn't work. What's the scripture say? You have to work while it is. Because when night comes, no man can work. And so that's what they were dealing with. And now Jesus comes and he says, I'm the light of the world. So we have to think about how significant that is to the people he's talking about. You have to have light to work. Jesus say he is the light, not just of the neighborhood where he might be ministering. He's the light of the what? The world. I've had people, I remember long ago in the church, we had people, good church, great church in my mind, but there were people who would complain, particularly about worldwide ministry. And I never could understand that myself. Even as an adult, it took a while to recognize if Jesus said, go you therefore into the world, why would we want to limit it to one neighborhood or one city? What Jesus wants us to do is be available to go wherever he might send us. Why? Because the need is all over the world. We need God. We need the church. Amen? Amen. And that's what Jesus is testifying about. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is this walking in darkness, preacher? Well, how many of us know the difference between right and wrong? Would you say? You willing to recognize? We know the difference between right and wrong. Don't let anybody tell you they don't know what they're doing when they choose to do evil. That didn't just sneak up on us. We know the difference. And we were talking, I was talking to a person the other day, and the person was saying, well, I don't see anything bad about drug cartels. They're just like the military in the United States. I said, what are we talking about? And his point was that the U.S. and most countries that are strong have a forceful military to try to protect the country, of course, but also to influence things that happen in other countries. And this person would say, well, the cartels just use force and strength like anybody else. We shouldn't think bad of them. I say, something wrong here. That picture's not right. Anybody who thinks there's no problem with drug cartels need to go back and examine. 400,000+ people killed in some of these countries since 2006. People just disappearing out of the blue. Now, I understand if people didn't have drug habits, I understand this, there'd be no market for drugs. Will somebody say amen? Amen? The only thing that drives cartels is that they can sell their product in many places all around the world, number one being the United States. So if we ever want to get rid of drugs, you got to get rid of the habit. And you don't get rid of the habit, let me say this, by putting them in jail. Jail is not rehabilitation. We need to find a better way. And the better way would be, of course, to counsel and treat and do the best you can. Jail is, nobody wants to be in jail. But Jesus understood that mentality better than anybody else because he was abused. He was talked about. He was spit on. He was called a blasphemer. But he knew because of the work that he had been assigned to do by his father, he had to get it done. Some of our church people are just too thin-skinned. Can't take a joke like you say. You know, just don't want anybody to say anything to them. They're ready to fall out and break down and leave the church. God knows our hearts. And he's looking for somebody who will stand up boldly and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, I want you to be like me. I want you to be the light of the world. And so Jesus goes on to tell the people in verse 14, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from. How many people know where we really came from? How many people know that without Jesus, there is no creation? Without Jesus, we wouldn't be here. And so our devotion ought to be to him, to lift up his holy and precious name. Help somebody get out of the pit. Help somebody turn their life around. Now, I know some people don't believe a person can change. I believe a person can change. God can change people. But that person must be willing to make a change. When somebody becomes adult, you can't tell them what to do. You can suggest, you can do all you can to help, but until they are willing to make a change, you're spinning your wheels. But Jesus knows, you know, he knows us better than anybody. He knows all that. In verse 15, he said, you people judge according to the flesh. Oh, ought to be a period there. You people judge according to the flesh. Now, who is this you people? It's all of us. We judge according to the flesh. Who's good looking? Who's ugly? Who's got, help me now. Come on now. I'm not the only one. Yeah, who's got money? Who doesn't have money? You know, you drive around sometime and you see the people standing on the corner, and sometimes people just say, I'm not going to give them anything. They don't need to be on the corner. Well, until we walked in their shoes, we don't know why they're out there. But God knows us better than anybody. That's a song, and it must be probably, it's got to be 15, maybe even 20 years old now, called Don't Laugh at Me. And the song just goes through some different things. I'm the man on the corner. I'm the unwed mother. Don't laugh at me. That's the way the church ought to be. Don't laugh at anybody. Extend a hand. Let's see if we can help somebody along the way. Because do you know that person who you lift up, that person who you help, may be the one that's put in a position to help you? Huh? Is that right? God is good like that. And we got to learn to lean on people, trust people, value people, knowing that God can put them in a position to do something great for God. He is a mighty good God. And so when we talk about, look, he says, follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, follow the true witness. What's that about, preacher? He said, follow the true witness. Everybody talking in the world don't need to be heard. Amen. Some people just need to shut up. Amen. Will you say amen? Amen. And as people, as humans, we're quick to flock to somebody that's got notoriety. I mean, who made a Oprah God? A Dr. Phil? You name them, and people would turn on and listen to them, and all of a sudden they got to live their life according to the instruction that somebody on TV or cable is giving them. Well, how about following Jesus? He's the way maker. He's the bright and morning star. He's the one who actually created us. Can we follow him? And so we've got work to do, church. That's all we're saying. We got work. Don't be content just because this church has been here for a long time. Don't be content because things seem to be on a good path. That's good. But we can only be content when we are following Jesus as he is the light of the world. He is a bridge over troubled water. And I like the way he put it. See, follow the true witness. And then he says, follow the Father. Remember when Jesus came, he was coming as part of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and he was getting his direction, his instruction, if you will, from the Father. He said, I came to do the work of my Father, who sent me. Now, it didn't mean that Jesus was less than God the Father, because we believe Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all part of the Godhead. But it did mean that for his time physically on earth, he felt that he had a mission that had to be fulfilled. And that mission involved more than just his neighborhood or his family or the people who would accept him. He was trying to get the whole world to understand, I'm different. I'm the Messiah. And when the people say, I don't believe you, where's your witness? He said, my Father's my witness. How many people need to accept and recognize that God is God all by himself? He's able to do what nobody else can do. And so as we look around church and we see how God can bless and do things that nobody else can do, put yourself in that position of saying, Lord, I want to work for you. I want to be on fire for you, God. There's a difference between work and commitment. Some people go to work because they have to. And they say, I got to pay my bills. And then there's some other people that might say, I want to do more than that. I want to lead. I want to guide somebody. I want to help somebody. Extend my hand to them. And do you believe that if we would do what God asked us to do, that God may have some great things in our life ahead of us? But we got to take the work seriously. Because like we always say, the truth is, tomorrow's not promised. Not to any of us. It would shock the average person to know how many people die every day. Worldwide, every day. There never has been a day that's been recorded where somebody did not die on this earth. And it just means that that's in God's hand. We don't control it, amen? Completely in God's hand. So if we take the time that we have and use it like Jesus did, missionary work, evangelistic work, work for others. Jesus didn't come down here for himself. The Bible that I study seems to say that Jesus didn't have any sin. Am I studying the right Bible? Jesus didn't have any sin. So his concern was us, the people who live on this earth, who did not know what it meant to get rid of sin. So Jesus' job in his mind, his mission was, let me lay down my life for everybody who will accept being born again. Isn't that good news? Everybody who wants a new life. And what this scripture tells us today is that anybody who wants a new life don't need to be complaining about it. Go get your new life. Because Jesus said, my arms are open. Whosoever will come. Huh? He doesn't say wait for your neighbor. Wait for your brother-in-law. Wait for your uncle, auntie, grandma. No, he said come. Those who are heavy laden. Those who got some burden, come, and I will give you what? Help me, somebody. Rest. Rest is what we all need, church. Without Jesus, we have no rest. But when we accept Jesus, we have rest because he is the light of the world. And he also extends to the world to let us know it's everywhere. Don't write anybody off and say they are not capable, not able to get salvation because of what they've done in their past. I say this all the time. God doesn't care anything about what your past was. The question is, who do you want to be now? Will you come to him now? He is a forgiving God, and we have to be grateful. Amen? So we thank God for you and all that you do as a church family, working together to make life better for people. I believe next Easter and the Sunday after Easter, we're going to have a bigger crowd. Amen. Amen. I do believe that we're going to have that one service at 7 o'clock in the morning. And some people who say, I can't get up that early, they're going to be up early and be hanging out with us. One worship service for Jesus. And as we mature as a church and become the light of the world like Jesus Christ, we'll be able to shout hallelujah. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, because God is a good God. One good thing, one great thing about people recognizing that Easter is special is that that tells you God's stirring some people. He's trying to move them to where you are. He's stirred in their hearts. But because Jesus went to the cross, you and I have freedom. you and I have salvation. Because he went to the cross, that's good news for everybody who's willing to accept it. But more importantly, when they put him into a borrowed tomb, the great news was he didn't stay there. I don't care how well made it was, he wasn't going to stay there. Stayed there for a short time. You know the story. But it says early on Sunday morning, he rose. He got up. Preacher, what is this get up? This get up, this conquering death. He got up out of the grave, the thing that everybody tends to fear. He said, don't fear death. There's a better place after, and I got it prepared for you. And so because he rose, we can rise from the grave. God bless you, church. We want to open the doors of the church. Jesus is that bridge over troubled water. There might be somebody here who perhaps has been in the church a long time but never been baptized. We all need to be baptized. If you're physically able, you need to be baptized as a sign that you are a believer. And we're going to start focusing and concentrating on that as we go forward. If there's anyone physically here, you're welcome to come forward, join the church, be part of the missionary effort. Will you come if you're here now? And if you're watching from a distance but you're not at the church, understand we'd love to have you as a member, but whatever you do, continue to support the ministry. We're grateful for all of you. Oh, let's sing it like we know it.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."